Let's read together this evening Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Text for the sermon this evening is verses 8 and 9. The word of God at Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." We read God's word that far. As I said, it's the 8th and 9th verse of this chapter that make up the text for the sermon tonight. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's thoughts are not your thoughts, and God's ways are not your ways. And what is more, God's thoughts and God's ways are so much greater and so much higher than our ways and our thoughts. That's the Word of God to us as a congregation this evening, and what a beautiful, comforting, and encouraging word of hope this is. Beloved, at a time like this, in light of the events of this past week, there are all sorts of passages of God's Word to which we could turn to find this comfort and hope and encouragement. Few are as beautiful as this one. Why? Because this passage of God's Word leads every single one of us here tonight to see and to know and by faith to believe in the depths of our hearts that God is God, and God is sovereign, and God is wise, and God is good. And because that is who God is, and not simply who God is, but who our God is, what that means is that His thoughts and His ways are so much higher and so much greater than our thoughts and our ways. And what is more, what we will see tonight, because this is true concerning God's ways and God's thoughts, we will learn that we have a God who is abundantly merciful, more merciful than we can ever imagine. And we have a God who pardons all of our sins, each one of us who is the chief of sinners. Thanks be to God and praise be to God this evening that His thoughts and His ways are so much greater and so much higher than our thoughts and our ways. That's the word that the Skipper family needs to hear this evening. And for that matter, the Prinz family, both of which who have lost loved ones in this past week. But the reality is that that's the word that all of us as a congregation need to hear tonight. The fact of the matter is that when one member of the body of Christ suffers, or when several members of the body of Christ suffer, as several do at this time, mourning and grieving in a very deep way, all of us together, as the body of Christ, suffer and mourn and grieve with them. And therefore, this is the word of God, not just to them, but this is the word of God to all of us as a congregation together. I'm going to say to all of us what was pretty much the very first thing that I said to the Skipper family Tuesday evening. When God works as He worked in the past week, and let's never forget that, and that will be reiterated this evening, God's will most emphatically was done in this past week. When God works in that way, what He is doing, as it were, is taking His hand and putting it underneath the chin of every single one of us and elevating it so that our eyes no longer are directed to the things of this earth and to people on this earth, but so that our two eyes, our spiritual eyes of faith, are directed up. God is saying to us tonight, my people, look up and know that I am God. And I am sovereign. And I am wise. And my thoughts and my ways are so much higher and so much greater than your thoughts and your ways. Let's see tonight what that means. See, in the second place, why that's the case. And then in the third place, the comfort that we as God's people derive from that glorious truth. The higher thoughts and ways of God. The meaning and the reason and the comfort. The words of our text come in the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And what that means is that these words are found, obviously, in the second half of Isaiah's prophecy. The prophecy of Isaiah is divided into two main sections, the first 39 chapters and then chapters 40 to the end. And obviously our text is found in that second half of the prophecy of Isaiah. The main theme of that second half of the prophecy is comfort. And that's an appropriate theme in light of the context in which those words were written. Isaiah wrote the second half of his prophecy as though he was right in the middle of the captivity that Judah would experience in Babylon. Now, Isaiah did not live at the time of the Babylonian captivity. Isaiah himself never was a captive brought to the land of Babylon. But what God did, as it were, was pick up Isaiah and place him right in the middle of that captivity so that he could see what it would be like for God's people there. And appropriately, therefore, he sets forth the theme of comfort, the well-known words of Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort ye, my people. It's in that larger context that we find the words of our text tonight. Words for the church back then as they were going through a very difficult circumstance that would have been comforting. Words for the church today. Our congregation today. That serve the exact same purpose of bringing us comfort. The passage talks about the thoughts and the ways of God and man. But those two ideas run through both of the verses. God's thoughts, man's thoughts, God's ways, and man's ways. Thoughts and ways are exactly what you think of when you hear those words. Thoughts are the things that are in our mind, our will, our purposes, our intentions, our hopes, all these things that we conceive of in our mind. Our way is the actual circumstance of our life, the actual experiences that we go through. The relationship between those two is that the one often leads to the other. You have certain thoughts, certain plans, certain intentions, certain hopes, and that governs what your way and your experience is here on this earth. The passage says to us that man has thoughts and man has ways. That's true. All of us have these thoughts, and all of us have hopes for what our way would be like here on this earth. But the passage also says that God has thoughts and God has ways. He does the exact same thing. The point of the passage is not simply this, that God's thoughts and God's ways are different and not the same as our thoughts and our ways. The point of this passage is to set before us the glorious truth that these over here, God's thoughts and God's ways, are so much greater and so much higher than any of our thoughts and any of our ways. This passage of God's Word has incredible implication and application, especially when you think about it within the context of the struggles and difficulties that we face in our lives. Now, there's a narrower context. We'll see that in the third point of the sermon, what these words mean directly in light of the context in which they are written. But we can take these words and broaden them out, especially in that context, the context of the difficulties that we face in our lives. And when we see what they mean in light of that context, they have incredible implication and applications for us. And in the end, we'll see a tremendous amount of comfort for us too. Consider the many ways in which your thoughts and your ways, that is to say, what goes on in your mind as it relates to what you hope your way would be like here on this earth, consider those many thoughts that you may have and how they do not necessarily line up with and are in conformity with what is your actual experience here on this earth. Let me put it differently by means of a question. If at the beginning of your adult life you had the ability to perceive in your mind, have a thought concerning what your entire life would be like, your way in this world, how much of those thoughts and plans for your way line up with what is your actual experience here on this earth, or has been your actual experience in your life? The answer to that question is that there would be all sorts of differences between what your thought and your hoped way would be and what is your actual experience on this earth. As a mature Christian, is it your thought and your desired way for your life to be alone, not to have a spouse with whom you can walk down life's pathway together with? Or is it your thought and your desired way to have somebody, to have a godly mate, but when it becomes very clear that that is not the way of God for you, when God has not led to you your spouse, or when God, after relatively speaking a short amount of time, takes that spouse with you, so that for many years you go down life's pathway alone? Your thought, your way for your life? Never in 100 years would you say that. On your wedding day, was it your thought and your proposed way for your life with your spouse to not have any children? Or was it the case on your wedding day, as you anticipate your future together, not only a beautiful time and joy and happiness with your spouse, but you anticipate children? And you can go even further than that. your children having children, your own grandchildren, and your family, and what is more, together in the church of Christ. When the reality is that the Lord closes the womb for the time, so that it's not God's way for you to have children on this earth. Is that your thought? In your way for your life? Never in 1,000 years would you say, that's my thought, in my proposed way for my life. Your young man, is it your thought, in your way for your life, to struggle every single day with the infirmities of the body, to know that when I wake up the next morning, I know I'm going to experience pain and difficulty and hardship. When all of my peers are in the strength of their youth, with spouses and families anticipating the lives that they have ahead of them. Or your parents, and you have a child given to you. Is it your thought in your way that this child that God has given you is going to be a child that struggles with bodily infirmity almost every day of his life? Your thought, your way, never in 10,000 years would you say that. You're a father and you're a mother, or you're a brother or you're a sister. Your thought, in your way for you in this life, to have your son or your brother taken from you. Never in 1,000,000 years. And when you ask those questions, it leads to the most perplexing question. Why? Why, O God, is this the way that I must walk in my life here on this earth? That's not what I signed up for. I didn't sign up to be alone for most of my life. I didn't sign up when I was married not to have any children. I didn't sign up to struggle every single day with the struggles of this body. I certainly did not sign up for this child that God has given me, or this brother that God has given me, to no longer be with us. Why, O God, is this the way that we must walk? And the devil will use that specific question to cause us to rebel against what God's way is for us. And it's at that time especially we need to take the sword of the Spirit and slay that devil by these words. God says to us, my thoughts and my ways are so much higher than any thought or any way that you could ever conceive. We need to be crystal clear about something this evening, beloved, and that is that God has thoughts and God has ways for us. And our experiences here on this earth are exactly according to the thought and the way of God for us. Ultimately, this goes back to eternity. God had thoughts. His thought was the plan for the entire universe, the history of every single creature here on this earth, to the very details of your life and my life. And His way for us is the carrying out of that perfect plan conceived of in eternity. It was according to the thought of God and the plan of God and God's way for you to be alone or not to have children or to struggle or to lose a child. And you know that those were not hypothetical situations. They are the everyday experience of some of us in the congregation. And I could have gone on and on and on with many more of those experiences. But be crystal clear about something. Our existence on this earth does not take place according to what our thought and our way is. It takes place according to what God's thought and God's way is. We may have those thoughts and we may have those hopes for our way on this earth, but they're very much different, as we have seen, from what is our actual experience here on this earth. Our actual experience is according to the thought and the ways of God. Now, the purpose of the text is not simply to say that those two things don't always line up. The purpose of the text is to tell us that these are so much higher and greater than anything we could ever perceive. And that's the purpose of verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says to us, go outside and look up and see the heavens and see how high those heavens are in contrast to the earth on which we live. And I believe the Spirit inspired Isaiah to use this figure because no matter how advanced technology can get, man will never be able to understand this. You can produce the most powerful telescope and you can have the brightest minds in the world, but man will never completely understand the expansiveness of the heavens that we see outside. And God says, look at those heavens. See their expansive nature and know that that is like my thought and my way for you on this earth. It's so much greater, so much higher than anything that we could ever conceive in our minds. Question is why? What's the reason that this text is true? And there are really two reasons. One having to do with us, and the other having to do with God. With us and what that says about our thoughts and our ways, and God and what that says about His thoughts and His ways. Let's start with this one, and let me illustrate this. All of us as parents at one time or another have had to say to our children, my son or my daughter, you don't understand what is best for you. You may think that you know what's best, but you really don't. I'm your father. I know what's best. You're too young. You're a child. You're not mature. You don't understand the full complexities of this earth in which we live and the situation for your family. Your son may say to you as a father, Dad, I need all of the latest and the greatest and the best things of this earth. Please, Dad, can you give them to me? Or your daughter may say to you, Dad, I think this is what we need to do as a family. We need to go down to Disney World for a month and have a family vacation together. And you as a father need to say, my son, no. You don't know what's best for you. It's not good for you to have the latest and the greatest and the best of all of the things of this earth. You don't need that. You may think you do. You may think that's best, but it's not. Or daughter, we can't do that. That's not what's best for our family. Financially, it's not best. Spiritually, it's not best. We can't leave like that for a month. Children, your children, you don't understand what's best. I'm father. I'm wise. I understand things. I know what's best for my family. In the illustration, every single one of us is that child. And the father is God. And so often in our lives, we can be just like those children. And we can say to God, God, what you are doing is not what is best for me in my life. I know what's best. It's not good for me and my family to have these things happen to me. The Skipper family, in a moment of weakness, could say, and by grace of God, they're not saying this, that this isn't what's good for my family. But that's the way the devil tempts us. Like little children, to go to God and say, I know what's best. And certainly the way that I have it in my life right now is not what is best. And not only are we children, but the fact of the matter is that we are sinners. We're creatures. We're finite. We don't understand, like a child, the full complexities of this life. And we're sinners besides, so that all of our thoughts are tainted with the reality of sin. And whenever we want to question God about what His way for us is on this earth, we need to do exactly what the Apostle Paul did in Romans 9, verse 20, and say, Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Beloved, the reason God's thoughts and God's ways are so much greater and higher than our thoughts and our ways is the simple fact that our ways are the ways of sinful creatures. Finite, sinful creatures. And that leads us to see what is the second reason The words of this text are undeniably true. And it has to do with who it is that says this. We're dealing here with God. Who is the in this text? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. If any other man or any other creature came to me and said, Reverend, my ways and my thoughts are so much higher than your ways and your thoughts. And this is how high as the heavens are above the earth. I'd say to that man, you're nonsense. They may be higher. Many thoughts, many ways are higher. But not infinitely higher as the heavens are above this earth. If any other man or any other creature said this, we couldn't believe it and we would not believe it for a moment. But who is saying this to us tonight? God. And because God says it, by faith, we believe it. This is no creature saying this to us tonight. This is the Lord God, Jehovah, creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the sovereign God. And that's the truth concerning God that is on display in these words. The fact that God is all-powerful. The fact that absolutely nothing in our lives here on this earth takes place outside of His sovereign control and plan, according to His thoughts and His ways for every single individual in their life here on this earth. And let's not forget that for one moment in light of the events of this past week. God's will was done. If we had to say about what took place this past week, that wasn't the plan of God, and that wasn't conceived of in eternity according to God's will, what you would be doing would be sacrificing the very nature of God. This one that we call God would no longer be God. God is sovereign. God is all-powerful to control the very finest details of our lives. But it's not simply that. Because we need to take it a step further and see another beautiful attribute concerning God. Not only is He sovereign, and therefore in His sovereignty plans and conceives the way for all of His creatures here on this earth, but He is also wise. And when you put those together, you have a beautiful truth. The wisdom of God in light of His sovereignty is that God can work in such a way to use absolutely everything down to the finest detail of this life to serve His purposes. And beloved, ultimately what those purposes are the glory of His name. Hallowed be Thy name, we pray at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, and the salvation of His church. And God is so powerful, and God is so wise, that He is able even to use sin. Your sins, my sins, the sins of every one of His children, to serve His purposes. To serve that glorious purpose of bringing to glory those who have gone before us, and to bring us who are still alive here this day to the day when we will see our Savior face to face. Why is it true that God's thoughts and God's ways are so much higher than our thoughts and our ways? Because God is God. And God is sovereign, and God is wise. And this truth of these two verses, therefore, affords us unbelievable comfort. Our comfort is wrapped up in the fact, in the first place, that this is our salvation, and now we need to see these words in light of the context in which they are written in Psalm 55. Notice what we read in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. So right before our text, it says that this is our God, who is unbelievably merciful, to pardon even the greatest of sinners and sin. And why is God able to do that? And why does God do that? Because His thoughts and His ways are far greater than our thoughts and our ways. Think about this, beloved. We have a hard time even forgiving those who sin against us just one time. When we're sinned against, and we're sinned against in a terrible way, every ounce of our being does not want to forgive the one that sinned against us. Now think about God. And think about the fact that every single one of us repeatedly sins against Him. And not just some minor sins, but we repeatedly, in a terrible way, sin against Him. If God operated the way that we think and according to our ways, God would have cast us off long ago. Thanks be to God that His thoughts and His ways are not our thoughts and our ways. And to bring this even further, it would never be in our mind, and it would never be in our way for those who sin against us, in the first place even to forgive them, but then to take it a step further and say, you know what? I love you so much, and I'm going to be so gracious to you that I'm going to take my one and only Son, and I'm going to offer Him as a sacrifice, and I'm going to send Him to the depths of hell so that you who sinned against Me can be saved. Every last one of us knows that that is not our thought and our way. But praise be to God and thanks be to God that that is the thought and that is the way of God. So much greater and so much higher than ours. God said, I'm going to save My people. I'm going to save them in a way that is unbelievably amazing. I'm going to take My only begotten Son, who is one with Me in the bosom of the Father, and He's going to become a man. That in and of itself is amazing, that He left that perfect life in the Trinity to become a man, so that He's like you and me. And in His human nature, He's going to go to that cross, and also with His divine nature, so that on that cross He could die for all of the sins of His people, for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of all those who are in glory with Him today. The very fact that we are a people saved by God is due to this glorious truth, that He doesn't operate on the level of a man, but He operates as one who is God, sovereign, wise, and good. So that we can say today with the psalmist in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Because God's thoughts and God's ways are so much higher and greater than ours, we have a God who abundantly pardons even the greatest of sinners. And what that means is that it flows into our everyday life. It flows into all of God's dealings with us. Because God loves us in the Lord Jesus Christ, He promises to be good to us in all that He does for us. Jeremiah makes very clear that the thoughts of God towards us at this moment are never evil, but only peace. Because He loves us in Christ, God is thinking about us. And God is working in our lives, but it's never evil. And don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that in the darkest moment of your life, in the hardest thing that you ever have to go through, God is not looking down at you and saying, this is My operation of evil towards you. Never. He loves us in Christ, people of God. He loves us so much that all of His thoughts and all of His ways towards us are good, are peace, are love. So that He's using absolutely everything, down to the finest detail of our lives, to serve His glory and to bring about your salvation in mine. Beloved, do we understand it completely? You think about this past week. Do we understand it? Can we wrap our minds around it in its entirety? No. We can't. But we don't have to. We hear this Word of God. That God's ways and God's thoughts are not our ways and our thoughts. Because He is God. Because He is sovereign. Because He is wise. Because He is good. Because He pardons us in Jesus Christ. His thoughts and His ways are so much higher and greater than ours. I say again, do we have to understand it completely? No. By faith, though. Believe it. Believe it in the depths of your heart and don't let anyone ever say otherwise. And when the devil tempts you to believe otherwise, take this Word of God out and slay him by it. And be comforted and assured with respect to absolutely everything. God is God. May God work comfort in the hearts of the families that are grieving at this time. But may God work comfort and encouragement to all of us as members of this body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for this Word, a Word of comfort and encouragement, a Word that sets forth Thee as God, the God who is unfathomably great and sovereign and wise, and therefore promises to love us and serve us and save us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that Thou wilt bless this Word unto our heart and soul, and forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.